Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ. I was impressed with the devotional this morning, Sunday school. As I was spending some time at my parents' place this past week, I picked up a newspaper there, started reading some of the articles that were in the newspaper. Of course, the big thing right now is the shooting that happened in Florida in the school. And that was one of the articles. It was about that and about the young man that did the shooting. And there was another article there that caught my attention. An article about an organized walkout on March 14th. It started basically in the school in Florida, but it's spreading nationally to schools across the nation. March 14th at 10 a.m. There's a planned 17-minute walkout, 1 minute for each one of the lives that was lost in Florida. And it is to draw attention to gun violence in schools. And it's to demand Congress, that Congress pass legislation to combat gun violence in schools. That was interesting to me as I read that article. And then I read another article. One of the widows of the men that were killed on 222 last year, late at night, car breakdown, tow truck comes to assist the individual, and they're both standing along the road, and a car comes along and hits them and kills both of them. One of the widows is campaigning that the Pennsylvania police enforce the slow down and move over law that is in place in Pennsylvania. Because she says her husband was killed by someone who did not slow down and move over for the tow truck lights. Later in the article, it says that among other counts, and many other counts, that the driver of the car that struck them was charged for was DUI. I read a number of other articles in the paper that day. But as I read those articles, I thought to myself, are they really addressing the problem? Is the walkout to demand more action on gun violence in schools addressing the problem? Is the campaign for the slow down and move over, is that really addressing the problem? You look at the violence that is taking place around us. And you look at the accident that took place there on 222. What is the problem? Brother Steve, in his devotions, mentioned the phrase, and they set not their hearts to follow the Lord, or I forget exactly the wording, but something in that line. The phrase that came to my mind as I thought about this and thought about the issues that we're facing in the world today and even in the church, there's a verse that came to my mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Now, I realize that Romans 1 is talking about immorality and idol worship and so forth. But brothers and sisters, this morning, I think you all know that those type of things do not start at the extreme. The issues that we face in the world today did not start yesterday or last week or even last year. But they started a long time before that. Verse 21 and 22 of Romans chapter 1 says this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." We can look out in society around us today and we see an anti-God society. And we wonder why. Why is society going the way they are? Laws have been established to remove Bible and prayer from school and to take the Ten Commandments out of government buildings. What replaced it? You know, we look around us and we see those things. We see the people that we say are out there in the world, and we look at all the horrible things they're doing. Brothers and sisters, that all started with someone somewhere unwilling to retain God in their knowledge. Somewhere, somebody decided they are not going to do what God is asking, what God is requiring of them. Somewhere, somebody decided that they're not going to live the life that God wants them to live. I ask you the question this morning. And as we go through this message, I want to recognize the fact that everyone is responsible to make a choice on their own. Your parents could not make the choice for you whether you're going to follow God or not, and neither can you make the choice for your children. And I recognize that fact, but I want to ask you this question. Is your life today the type of life that will lead the next generation into a knowledge of God, or let them without that knowledge? The type of life that you're living today, where will your children and your grandchildren be? It's a sobering thought But is it possible that because of me today and my unwillingness to retain God and my knowledge the way I should, is it possible if the world stand long enough, that my grandson or my great-grandson will be the school shooter? Brothers and sisters, it's sobering. And we stop and think about it. And we think about our responsibility today and the life that we're living today. Are we willing? Are we willing to retain God in our knowledge? That word retain simply means to hold. To hold or to hold on to. And the word knowledge, the root word of that is to know, to become fully acquainted with. And the word as it's used here means to recognize or to make full discernment. Are we willing to hold recognition and full discernment of God in our lives? We can look around us in the world and we can proclaim how terrible it is. And we can see our godless society and we can say they've turned away from God. They've removed God from every aspect of their life, and therefore they're going to follow Satan, and that's what it's going to be like. But brothers and sisters, this morning, we have a responsibility in our own lives. We can look out into the world and we can bemoan the fact of how terrible it is. And it is true. But what about our lives today? Is that godless society rubbing off on us? Is that godless society influencing us? Are we willing, as Paul says in verse 16, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, in this society that we're living in today, the Christian is going to be more and more outstanding if he lives by the word of God. As the world drifts further and further away from God, and the Christian remains steadfast, the gap should be getting larger, and the differences should be greater. Are we willing to stand? Or are we going to follow the trends of the world? Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and following give the account of Noah. Brother Leon talked about that the other Sunday. The wickedness in Noah's day as men departed from God, and we see God's judgment on that. Exodus on through all the prophets record for us Israel's struggle to remain faithful to God. That's an example for us. You can easily see what happens when individuals begin to turn away from God and His Word. Again, the question comes back to each one of us sitting here this morning. Are we retaining God in our knowledge? We know what God says. We know the Bible. We know God's word. We know his requirements. We've been taught, we've been raised, we've been brought up knowing the Bible. We know what God's word says about obedience and purity and love and forgiveness and mercy. We know all that. But where are we at? Are we living that type of life? Or have we made excuses? Have we made exceptions? Is obedience not quite as important as it used to be? What about purity? In actions and in thought. Love. Do we have love one for another, or is there bitterness and envying and strife? Is there forgiveness, or is there holding of grudges and blaming? Yes, we profess to be Christians. We profess to be children of God. But are we willing to hold the knowledge of God in our hearts and minds? Verse 21 again, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And that glorification, brothers and sisters, comes when we, by our lives, glorify God through obedience. Verse 17 says, and that's following verse 16, where it says, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And then verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are we moving from faith to faith? Is it a growing process? Is it something that is growing in our lives? Is it something that is vibrant? Is it something that means something to us? Is it something that we're willing to live by? Or is it just something that's nice to have because there's some benefits to it? Are we growing in conviction? Are we growing in purity and obedience and love and forgiveness? Are those things growing in our lives? Do people around us see that we live the Bible and that there's something different in our lives than what they have? Do we make the Christian life look tempting and desirable? Or do we make it look like a drudgery and they say, well, if that's what it is, I don't want it. The world around us has thrown God out. And I wonder sometimes, brothers and sisters, if it's not because of what they see or maybe what they don't see in the life of a Christian. They get rid of the Ten Commandments. They throw them out. But it's interesting to note that there's laws against theft. There's laws against murder. They want some of it, but they don't want all of it. In our lives today, do we recognize the seriousness of just taking some of God's commandments and not all of them? Do we recognize the danger of being willing in our own life, in our own thoughts, to lay aside some of the important things of God, but we're still okay because we're keeping some of them? It's not how it works, brothers and sisters. We all know the fact that God wants all of us. Not just part of me, He wants all of me. God doesn't just want me to be a church member. He wants me to be His child. He wants me to be an obedient child. Are we growing? Or are we following the progression of the world just a few steps behind? As parents, are we training our children? Are we being an example? I'm going to get blunt this morning. And I realize that children can sometimes embarrass us. I've experienced it. But when I see children running around chasing each other in the basement of the church, and I see them out in the parking lot throwing snowballs and stones and you name it, I wonder where the parents are. And there's people that had to wonder that about me. I had a little boy that was brought into the basement of a church building, taken to the restroom to mop blood off of his forehead because he was out with the other boys after church, out of my sight, out of my control, going down the sliding board at the school right beside the church. And he saw the older boys going down head first, and he decided he's going to as well. But he was too little to know that he's got to slow down or put his hands out to stop himself at the bottom. And he got a gash in his forehead. Where was Dad? Somebody came and told me about it, that my son's down in the basement and he needs me. Told me what happened. And as I was walking out, an older brother that was standing beside me put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Brother Cliff," said, "be a dad." And what he was telling me was, take charge of your children. Know where they're at. And I challenge you this morning, fathers especially, be a dad, take charge of your children. Know where they're at. Know what they're doing. Make them accountable. Train them. If they don't learn to be responsible to your authority, they won't learn to be responsible to any authority. If they're not taught to control that control, what control means, they're going to rebel against authority. Proverbs doesn't say, "For naught that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And Proverbs is very true when it says that he that spareth the rod spoileth his child. Proverbs lets us know that we shall not spare for their crying. It's interesting again to note, and some of you probably have experienced this, you go to a store somewhere, or you're out in public, and you have your children with you, or you have your young children with you, and somebody walks up to you and makes a comment about how well-behaved your children are. We were talking about this at work just this past week. And I said, you know what? It's very strange. They make a comment about how well-behaved your children are. But if you would tell them what your training program includes, you could go to prison for child abuse because you spank your child. They want the results, but they don't want the program. Brothers and sisters, what's wrong with that picture? The problem is that they have not retained the knowledge of God in their hearts. They don't want to do that. They don't want the responsibility. And they find reasons to get around it. Brothers and sisters, you and I this morning have the responsibility to train our children so that they don't end up where many children in the world are ending up today. Our children need to know that their parents love them. Our children need to know that their parents care about them. Our children need to know that their parents wanted them. Our children need to know that they're not a burden to their parents, but that their parents are anxious to have them and have them in their home. We need to be an example. Ephesians tells us that children are to honor their parents. I'd like to turn that around for just a moment and challenge us as parents that we need to be honorable. We expect our children to honor us. Honor your father and your mother. That's a command in the Bible. But fathers and mothers, are we being honorable? Are we living a life that is above reproach? As our children look in on us, and I must admit, I stand up here shamefaced when I say this, but when the children are sitting in the back seat and dad's driving down the road and they look over his shoulder, what does the speedometer say in relation to the road signs? That big red sign at an intersection that says, stop. Does dad do that? Or does he look both ways and, well, there's traffic there and there's traffic there. If I stop, I'm going to wait who knows how long. So I just kind of ease up and then I go quick. You might say, well, that's getting kind of nitpicky. But brothers and sisters, when we expect our children to obey our command and they look over our shoulder and see that dad is not doing it, what can we expect? Do as I say, not as I do. Is that the way we train children? It's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we as parents need to be an example. We need to be living God's word. We need to show them. It needs to be a part of our everyday life. We need to have time to explain situations to them. We need to take the time to let them know why we're doing certain things and give them a good explanation and a reason. Not just say, well, this is how you're supposed to do because I said so. We need to be living the life that we're trying to teach. We're not going to get anywhere by being peers and best friends to our children. We need to be parents. Yes, we need to love them. We need to convey that. But they also need to know that the parents are the authority figure. I don't understand how people can fall for the modernistic teaching that children need to be allowed to express themselves. And I trust you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that a child needs to be kept in a chair and sat there and be quiet or if they're out there working like a slave. Children need to be able to have some expression of their own because each child is different. But the modernistic teaching that is afloat in the world today and has been for years is that they need to express themselves. You can't mold them. You got to let them be themselves. Brothers and sisters, if children are left to be themselves, they're going to be devilish. Because that's what's in the heart of a child. That's what's in the heart of every individual that is born in this world, is a sinful nature. And if we don't train them to be different, if we don't give them the tools that they need to be different, that's what they're going to be like. They're going to be like sinful man. They're going to act like sinful man. They're going to do the deeds of sinful man. And if they're not taught and if they're not made to suffer consequences when they're disobedient, that's what they're going to end up being. If we as parents are not willing to retain God in our knowledge and we're going to let some things slip by and we're going to say some things aren't important and we're going to say, I'm not going to take that responsibility, it's too tough, what can we expect of our children? What about in the church? The importance of church membership and support. Being a part of the body, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Being a member of the body of Christ. We're not all the same. We don't all fill the same office. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have the same responsibilities. But are we willing to be a part of the body of Christ? Being an humble and supportive member. Church membership is voluntary. Church membership is one of those things that we want the individual to desire. We want the individual to want to be a part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to be blunt again. If you don't want to be a church member, then don't be a hypocrite. If you don't want to live the life, the choice is up to you. Nobody here is going to force you to remain a member of this church. But brothers and sisters, we want you to be a member of the church. We want you to be the type of individual that has God in their knowledge and wants to live by the word of God and therefore be a part of the body of Christ and be a supportive member and being a member that receives help from the body and is willing to help the body. It's a two-way street. Obedience and submission to the head and to the other members of the body. Are we this morning individuals who are willing to be different and to stand out in the world? Are we willing to be the type of individual that is going to make a difference in society by the way that we live, or are we going to be a part of society? I ask you this morning, as you look at society around you and you see the terribleness and the sinfulness and the debauchery that's going on around us, do you realize, and I'm sure you do, but I want to challenge you this morning, do you realize that possibility lies within every one of us? Are you willing to take your place as a parent, as a child, wherever you are, to live and to fulfill God's word in your life? Again, I turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we have an advantage that many children and many people in the world do not have. Somewhere years ago, many people, and I'm looking at this area basically, but even in the rest of the United States, if not the world, many people had a form of godly practice. I say a form. But somewhere, parents failed and they did not teach their children. Somewhere, parents were not an example and they didn't pass on the teaching and the training of the Word of God. And the steps progressed. Where are you today? More sobering. Where will your children and your grandchildren be? Let's kneel for prayer.